Psalm 62. Let's please find that place in your Bible, the Old Testament book of Psalms. And we're in Psalm 62 this morning, verses 5 through 8. All right, we'll look at some other verses in the text there, but we'll take the time to read just these four, 5, 6, 7, and 8. So find that place in your Bible, and then let's stand in honor of God's good book that He's given us, blessed us with, and we're going to read these together. Please join me on the even verses 6 and 8. And that'll be good. All right? So we're reading now Psalm 62, and I'll begin on verse 5. My soul, this is David, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Thank you for being our refuge, Heavenly Father. Please help me to make that point this morning, to bring that truth out. And God, only You can give power. I read in Your Word where the Bible says that power belongeth unto God. And so I pray that You will please give us a measure and a portion of that power this morning. Enable us to speak powerfully for the cause of Christ today. Speak to our hearts. Please help us to be ready to receive Your Word, that Your Spirit might have free will and way to move about us and help us, Lord. We'll be glad. Bless the song, the singer, the message to follow is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. it. Hallelujah, that'll work. I like the old songs. The old songs work, amen. They pack a punch. So we've sung all day today, and make no apology for that. That's what we are. We enjoy the good old hymns. Thank you. Charlotte, I'm amazed at how God sometimes directs the music to fit right into the theme of the message. And we didn't read the verse in here particular. Well, we did, verse number 6, He only is my rock and my salvation. So I want to speak this morning on the subject of our refuge. Our refuge. You see that in verse number 8. God is a refuge for us. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for the fact that You are our refuge. Help me today, please, in these moments, to deliver this truth in a way that the Spirit can bless it and use it for Your will and Your way. I pray to that end. There might be somebody here, Lord, if they were to draw their last breath sometime in the next 7 days, they would not be in heaven for eternity. They're headed to that other place, that place called hell. I pray that, God, they give a good ear this morning and help me, please, as I preach. And may that person listen very carefully. We'll thank You, and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the many blessings of growing up in America for these years has been the absence of a war waged in our own land, on our own soil. Many, many countries, you think about this, many, many countries have had to endure war, or in some cases, wars, that were fought on their own soil, their own ground. Now, in thinking about this, I suppose, just anywhere back there is fine, Brother Jeff, just a seat anywhere, great. And thank you for helping this man. I appreciate that. Great. I suppose that not since 1865 has war been fought on this soil. I would think it was a quick thought, but I think that's true. Now we've had a couple of attacks, Pearl Harbor back in the 41, 42, and then. Of course, September the 11th, some 10 years ago. But I don't think that we've had full-scale war on our soil since 1865. And even though that was a terrible and costly war, hear this, friend, military weaponry has become far more deadly and destructive than it was then. And it was bad, but, you know, you take what's available out there today, whew, mercy. You see pictures of Nagasaki, Hiroshima? So that weaponry, far more deadly and far more destructive, it takes a greater toll on people, on the landscape, and on property, so forth and so on. Now, we've not endured that. Imagine settling down for bed, you and your spouse. Your kids are already fast asleep, and you're just ready to get in bed. Or maybe you're already there just getting ready to sleep, and you hear the sickening sound of the air raid horn. That sickening, that wailing sound, and all the lights in the city go dim. Right? And then in the distance you hear the drone of those enemy airplanes, and you know the purpose for their coming. They're coming to bomb. And so now you quickly have to gather your children from their sleep, and you either have to run to a cellar or a basement or someplace, a tunnel, or if you don't have a place in your own home, you have to hurry down the street to a shelter that is built for that specific purpose for the neighborhood, and then you get in there and you wait out the air raid, and that is a shelter, a refuge. Now you know what? I've never had to do that. But friend, many, many people in multiple countries around the world have faced those situations over and over again. Multiple times. The shelter, okay, was a refuge for safety from danger, from the enemy, from death, from harm. The shelter was a refuge. Now, that's talking about physical danger and physical harm, and I'm glad that our God is a shelter for us from physical danger and physical harm. You know, I believe in keeping your house protected. And I believe in making sure your car is right and everything, and like we do with these buses back here. But friend, the Bible tells us that even though the horse is prepared against the day of battle, that safety is from the Lord. He's our refuge. But I want to talk about God being our refuge from a different angle this morning, not not so much from the physical angle as another way. At the end of verse number 8 in the Bible here, the Bible says that God is a refuge for us. And there you see that little word, Selah. You see that? Selah. Selah means pause. It means suspension. In fact, it's very interesting. The Psalms are songs. Okay? So Selah was a suspension in the song. Kind of like a rest. You know, and we don't do this a whole lot with congregational singing, but when we're having a choir practice, you know, we pay attention to the rests. Some rests get a beat. Some rests get two beats. Some rests get a whole measure. And you take a rest from singing. And that's what the word Selah means. It means pause. It means suspension. It's a brief stop. It's a brief rest. Now, wait a minute. Specifically to consider what was just said. For emphasis, for the purpose of letting it sink in. So you see the word Selah at the end of verse number 8, then you have to say, okay, what did God just say? Because whatever God just said is what He wants us to stop and consider. And think about and pause, have a little suspension. Well, what He just said was, God is a refuge for us. God said, David said, when we need safety, when we need protection, when we need shelter, God is our refuge. And then He said, Selah, stop, pause, think about this. God is our refuge. He's our shelter. He's our protection. He's our safety. And yes, that means physical, from physical danger, but it also includes other dangers, enemies, and troubles as well. I don't think I have to tell you, she sang the song, In Times Like These. Now, I'm not whining this morning. I'm not moaning, okay? Because I just talked about the things that we haven't had to endure, but I will serve notice, and I don't think it's going to come as a great shock to you. These are wild times. These are crazy times. These are wild days. More wild stuff is going on. And I don't mean just in the world of finance and these riots and all the nonsense of these folks. I mean, all that craziness out there. It's wild times. I believe with all of my heart, more demonic activity in this world today than there ever has been. And I think I can prove that biblically. I believe it's going on right now. As we approach the tribulation period, marriage is under assault and attack like never before. And I understand nationally, but I'm really not talking about nationally this morning. I'm talking about individually. The home is under assault. Individually. Finances are under assault. I want to say this morning. I'm convinced of this. Mental stability is under assault more than I've ever seen in my life. Mental stability. I mean thought processes that are not chaotic and crazy. I can't figure all this out. I'm mad at somebody because of something, so I'm going to kill not just them, but seven or eight others while I'm at it. And by the way, a gun never killed anybody. It's the goofball, the psychotic behind the gun. So, these are crazy times. I'm talking about mental stability, emotional stability. I think we live in a wild day. But friend, I got good news for us. I'm not really coming to talk about that kind of thing. I can tell us this morning, praise God. I can say what David told his people years ago. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Now, David could encourage his people, and he could encourage us about God being our refuge, because God had become his refuge. And we'll see that very clearly in what David said in these verses and learn how God can be our refuge. And I want to tell you this morning, I guess really the angle that I am coming from more than any other this morning is the fact that God is a refuge for us as far as mental stability and emotional stability, handling the problems and the stresses and the pressures of this world. Those that come to your marriage, you don't have to leave your wife. You don't have to leave your husband. That's crazy. You don't have to have your home fall apart. It's unbelievable behavior on the part of God's people today. Like I've never seen in 21 years of pastoring. I think I'm talking about here. I'm talking about as I come into contact with situations and so forth and so on in the world today. Now, I want to help us this morning because, friend, God is our refuge. Okay, and if you don't hear the planes in the distance this morning, you understand, friend, it may not be buzzing in your life right now, but they will someday. Okay? So I want to help us this morning. Now, number one, I want us to see this. This is right out of the text. Number one, David developed his relationship with God. David developed his relationship with God. There is a little pronoun in chapter number 62 that is used over and over again in these verses. And it is what we call a personal pronoun. It is the personal pronoun, my. Now, if a person starts talking about my, our first thought is he's what? He's stuck on himself, right? That guy in Luke chapter, was it Luke chapter 12? He talked about my barns and my goods and my this and my that. And Jesus called him a fool. Remember that? But David is not talking about his possessions. When David is using the pronoun, he is not full of himself talking about himself. He is only using it to testify about his God. Now, I know that was a simple statement, but it flew over most of your heads. His God. His God. That's personal. That's not his daddy's God or his mother's God or his sibling's God. His God. His God. My, he says, my. I want you to look at the titles that David gave to God in these verses. Look at verse number 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Look at verse number 5. Wait thou, my soul, wait, I didn't use the word my there, but God. Wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Look at verse number 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. David said rock, salvation, defense, expectation, glory, strength, refuge. He gave God all of those titles. Now, hey, folks, all of those titles are accurate. They are true. There is not a thread of exaggeration or embellishment. God is rock. God is salvation. He is defense. He is expectation. He is glory. He is strength. He is refuge. And that's a wonderful thing. But I want to tell you something more wonderful. Is when He becomes my rock. And my salvation. And my defense. And my expectation. And my glory. And my strength. And my refuge. I'm not talking about God just being the rock, the salvation. I'm talking about God being my rock. I'm talking about God being your rock, friend. And David had developed a personal relationship, his own relationship with God. You know what David did? Truth of the matter is, what David did in this passage is he put his initials on every one of those titles. Did you ever fill a form out and you had to initial a bunch of statements and you had to initial it? Initial that, initial that, initial that, initial that, initial that. That means that statement no longer is just generic. That statement is what? Personally true about if I'm doing it, me, and if you're doing it, you. So you know what David did? Here's a statement. God is the rock. And David initialed that. More than just the rock, he's my rock. God is the salvation. More than just the salvation, he put his initials on that. Said that's my salvation. He initialed every one of those titles with his own name. He put them on there. David said, over time, I have learned that God is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my defense. He is my expectation. He is my glory. He is my strength. He is my refuge. And can I say this morning, friend, that David came from a godly family? Can I say this morning that David had a goodly heritage? His dad was a great guy, Jesse the Bethlehemite. He had probably no doubt a wonderful mother. Maybe he had a good example in the home, great leadership. But there came a day. There came a day. Oh, God, help us this morning. There came a day when David learned that God was his rock, his refuge, his strength. Oh, that day would come for me and you. If it hasn't already. Oh, that day would come for our young people. Oh, that day would come for our college students and our young married couples and our older people. I mean, realize, a friend, that God is my rock and my salvation. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a message on a Sunday night. and I mentioned the world's population. I went back and looked it up in my notes from the previous message on October the 2nd at 5:30 a.m. in the morning. The population of the world was 6,965,779,114. Yesterday morning at 7:45 a.m., I checked it again on October 15th. It was 6,968,537,762. That is an additional 2,758,648 people in 13 days. And those of you that were in that sermon, remember in 1999, I have it in my notes preaching that the world is almost 6 billion people. In 12 years, we've gone from 6 billion to 7 billion. That's a lot of people. And God is moved with compassion for each and every one of those 7 billion people. The world is on His heart, yet, don't miss this, yet, David knew God as my rock, my salvation, my defense, my expectation, my refuge, my strength, my glory. And believe me, friend, God was all of those things to David, not corporately to the human family that David belonged to, but God was all of those things to David's own heart. God was all of those things to David's own mind. Now you've got to listen to this morning. God was all of those things to his mind, his thought processes. And I'll go somewhere with that in just a minute, but don't miss that. God was all of those things to David's heart, to David's mind, to David's soul, to David's person. God was his refuge. Is he yours? Have you learned that? You can learn that. You need to learn that. And that's why you hear from the pulpit repeatedly, read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. It is because through these exercises, friends, we come to know God personally as a personal God. Yes, the great Creator who sits on the throne of the universes, plural, and rules over it all. And yet is not too big that He's not concerned about me. And he's concerned about you. And he'll be a refuge. He'll be a rock. He is a defense. But not just a refuge, a rock, a defense. My. Now, it's a dangerous and wild day, but God wants to be, God longs to be, God can be, and God will be our refuge if we will let Him. Number two, David's troubles taught him these truths. David's troubles taught him these truths. Watch it. Hey, folks, the very nature of these titles indicates that David had trouble. Rock, salvation, defense, expectation, strength, refuge. Hey, you don't need a refuge. You don't need defense. You don't need expectation if there's no trouble in your life. If there's no problem. If there's no pending danger. If there's nothing out there that's a threat to you and your personal well-being and a threat to you and your family. But friend, when trouble... Look, I am alarmed at the depression, the psychotic behavior, the breakdowns mentally and nervously that I hear about frequently. People, listen this morning. Trouble, problems. If you're not in one right now, it's just around the corner. And if you're not in one right now, you probably just came out of one. And sometimes you move from one into the other. Sometimes you have one and you're already into the other before the first one's out of. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Sure. Now, it all depends on how you and I respond to those troubles. We have to act biblically. We have to learn how to handle troubles. And if those troubles drive us to God, then troubles will actually be used to make us better. Now, there is another word that David uses about God in these verses besides my. He uses it three times. Look at verse number 2. He uses the word only. In verse number 5, he uses the word only. In verse number 6, he uses the word only. You know what David had in times of trouble? He had a single eye. He had a single eye. He said, God only is my refuge. God only is my strength. God only is my rock. God only is my expectation. God only is my strength. I'll tell you what, he had an advantage over us. Those of us that leave, you say, well, he didn't have all the modern conveniences of life that we have. Man, he didn't have a cell phone. What a happy day. I would love to have life without a cell phone again. I love it. I guess when I go to Bahamas, I'll turn mine off and it'll be a wonderful blessing for those days. Eh? So he didn't have plumbing and all the things that we have today, indoor plumbing. Hey, look, friend, I know he had some of those physical, you know, some of the physical conveniences we have. But I'm going to tell you what he didn't have. He didn't have Oprah, and he didn't have Dr. Phil, and he didn't have all these stinking freak shows on television and all these freak shows that are on the radio. That's all they are, folks. They're freak shows. How do I cope with finally meeting my first wife who left me 10 years ago, has been married 84 times, and I've been married 86 times, and now this is our child and came back from the dead? And I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy stuff. It's insanity. It's nuts. You don't think all that stuff's demonic? Amen, Brother Angel. That's right. It's all demonic. It's all birthed out of the pit of hell, every bit of it. And Christian, look, you can't grab a Bible and run off to church. If you're in the midst of trouble, or when trouble comes, you can't grab a Bible and run off to church for one day and then go home, pop down in front of Phil and Oprah for 6 days and be safe. Because you watch that stuff, crazy things begin. Listen, in the last, how many days, wife? 8? In the last 8 days, Brother Joe, last 8 days, 4 families, 4 marriages we've heard about fell apart. One case been married over 30 years. I'm talking about preachers. I didn't even know some of their names. Just whatever. What about that church? Oh, he ran off with his secretary. He ran off with this. His wife left him, 60 years old. I don't know how many years in the ministry. His wife just got tired of it and left him. It's nuts. But see, look. The winds of difficulty, the winds of conflict are going to blow in every marriage. Yes, sir. Every marriage. And if you're going to do one of two things. You're going to either run to God and make Him your only refuge, or you're going to run to God on Sunday and run to Dr. Phil on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And you're going to hear all these stupid stories and goofball testimonies and all these freak shows. And you're going to start having thoughts like, well, you know, I'd probably be happier with him over my husband. I'd probably be happier with her rather than my wife. And, you know, if I had him, I'd be happier. And if I lived there, and if I was single again, and blah, 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 all that nonsense. Just, you've got to get to God. You've got to run to Him. Because, listen to me, if you don't, in a time of trouble, it's your mind, it's your emotions that need stabilized. You're not as near in danger, you're not as near close to physical danger this morning as you are to mental and nervous danger. And emotional danger. Y'all believe that? Oh, you believe it or not, I know it's true. I know it's true. Nerve trouble, emotional trouble, mental breakdown, psychotic behavior. And I expect it out of the world, but God's people. In troubled times, your mind needs a refuge. Your mind needs a shelter. Your mind needs a safe place from the bombardment of the enemy. When the winds of war start to blow on a marriage or a home or anything, You run to God and you make Him your only refuge. Listen. Look at what He said. You say, well, I need somebody to talk to. Well, look at what He said in verse number 8. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Look at the next words in your Bible. Pour out your heart before Him. Isn't that what you need to do? I get on the phone and call my friends. Mm-hmm. Who are in the same ditch you're in. I'll tell you what I did. I left Him. Best thing I ever did. Lie. It's a lie. I'll tell you what I did. I left her. Best thing I ever did. Lie. That's not the end of the story, folks. Give that thing some time. We get to talking to people who are in the same ditch we're in. Pour out your heart before Him. You know what's amazing? I had this thought. It's really amazing that we can trust God to save us from our sin debt. We can trust Him to save us from an eternity of punishment, torture, and separation from God in hell. We can trust Him to forgive us from our sin, to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, but we can't seem to trust Him with the temporal, earthly troubles that come into our life. That's like me giving Brother Bragg $100,000 and asking him, please watch this for me. And then being unwilling later on to give him a dollar because I fear what he'll do with it. Is that not right? That's a silly illustration. Yeah, it's about as silly as me and you trusting God for our eternal destiny, and yet we can't turn earthly troubles over to Him. Y'all, does that make any sense to y'all? Oh yeah, Brother Caleb, $100,000. Brother Caleb, I want you to invest this for me and use it and protect it and make it grow. And in retirement, man, I'm going to give it to you. I trust you completely. And then 2 weeks later, Brother Angel, Pastor, could I borrow a dollar for 15 minutes? No, I don't trust you with you. Hey, listen to me this morning. Any problem that we face other than our sin problem is a lesser problem. Our sin problem is the greatest problem we have. And the consequences of our sin problem are the greatest consequences we face. We have trusted that to God. Why can't I take these other things to Him? He's already settled that big problem, and He can take care of all the small ones too. He is our refuge. He's our refuge. We've already trusted Him with the biggest problem we face. We can certainly trust Him to be our refuge with the lesser ones. That would include a problem in my marriage. That would include a problem in my home. That would include a problem with my finances. That would include a problem with this situation. I don't have to take a gun and put it to my head and blow my brains out. I don't have to walk into a salon and kill 10 people because I'm stressed. I don't have to leave my wife. I don't have to leave my husband. I don't have to abandon my kids. I don't have to. This is nuts. And if it was isolated to the lost world, it would be one thing. But when it's in the church, it's another matter altogether. This is crazy. We have a God who is our refuge, our protection, our shelter, our safety, our defense, our rock, our expectation, our strength, our glory. No wonder David said, I only go to Him. Only go to Him. Don't run to the television, the radio, and all this nonsense is just permeating the airwaves today. You seen the latest National Enquirer? Oh, my soul, help me. I'm telling you, folks, if that's your diet, then you'll take a gun and blow your brains out someday. Amen, amen. If your diet is Dr. Phil and Oprah and all the crazy goofballs, weirdos. I'm talking about freaks. Probably half of them demon-possessed. And they got the airwaves. Blah, 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 blah. I'll tell you what we better do. Better turn all that trash off and get in a quiet place and get this book open and just say, Lord, here, this, I got to have some help. I got to have some help. I got to have some help. So, let me tell you again the first two points. Number one, David developed his relationship with God. David's troubles taught him that God was his rock and God was his defense. So the next time trouble comes into your life, don't curse the trouble. Just run to the refuge. Huh? Hey, folks, when those planes came over in World War II in those European cities, they didn't have time to stop and... they did that, they'd be dead. They got to the refuge, number three, and I'm done. You talk about good news. David's God is our God. Now look at verse number 8 again. Look at that last phrase before the word Selah. This is the one that David, this is what David wanted us to pause and think about. God is. What does that mean? That means 11:58. Sunday morning, October 16th, 2011. That means right now. This moment. God is our refuge. Right now. Not yesterday, not back in David's day, not back in Samuel's day, not back in D.L. Moody's day, Charles Finney's day. No, 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 no. Because the unchanging same God is always the same. He is our refuge right now. Today, right now, this moment. Today, right now, this moment. He's your refuge. Now, look, many of you in this room, you found that to be true when you came to Him with that sin problem I was talking about a little while ago. But somehow, some way, you started to think that somebody else or some other thing is your refuge now. But I'm telling you something, every problem that you face is lesser in degree than your sin problem. And you took that to Him. And aren't you satisfied with what He did with that? Run to the refuge, man. I can't do a good air horn, but you don't know about it, right? Lights are going dim. What are you going to do? Run. Run. Where to? Find out what Oprah's saying. What's Rush got to say? You know, Rush is done. He's fleeced the pockets of millions of Americans. He's filthy rich. You better run to God, friend. Now listen. There might be a few in this room this morning, and here is how you learn that God is a refuge. Listen very carefully. The single biggest problem, I've said it again, the single biggest problem you face in life is the problem of your sin debt. Did you hear what I said? He said, my sin debt. Yeah, we're all sinners. I'm not going to belabor that because time's gone. But nobody had to teach you how to tell a lie. Nobody had to teach you how to be selfish. We're all sinners. And we all owe the sin debt. And that sin debt is greater than you and I can pay. And the consequences of that are eternal separation from God forever in the place that God called hell or the lake of fire. But God doesn't want you to go there. He said, look, the winds of judgment are going to blow on you someday, but I have created a refuge for you. And His name is Jesus Christ. He is my Son, my only begotten Son. He sat beside me in heaven at my right hand from eternity past. The day came when He left heaven's glory and He came to this earth and He lived for 33 and a half years, a perfect, spotless, sinless life, and went to an old rugged cross. And all your sins I placed on Him, and I judged Him for your sin, and I am satisfied with the payment He has made for your sin. So here's what you better do. You better run to that refuge. Because did you hear what the choir sang this morning? I couldn't remember what we were singing. I had to come in here and look to see what we were singing this morning. I can stand in His presence, God's presence. Why? Because Jesus stood in my place. There is no other refuge when it comes to hell. Church is not a refuge for hell. Baptism is not a refuge for hell. The sacraments are not a refuge for hell. American citizenship is not a refuge from hell. Jesus Christ is the only refuge from hell. And you better run to Him. And you know what you'll find out? You'll find out that everything God said is absolutely true. That sin debt will be paid. There will be a peace, an assurance. I'm God's child. I have been saved. I've been born into His family. And God has forgiven me and washed me. Oh, what a refuge! And you know what? Once you get there, you just got to remember that the rest of your life as a child of God, God is a refuge, our refuge. God is our refuge. He's our refuge. David said, I've learned it. He's my rock, my salvation, my defense, my expectation, my glory, my strength, my refuge. And I learned that through the troubles that I had in my life. And the difficulties. And David's God is our God today. Amen, amen. It's a wild and crazy day, friend. But I don't have to fall apart because I got a refuge. His name is God. Amen. God, amen. Well, I could say more, but I won't. What a great refuge is our God. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask a couple questions this morning. Who would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God took the truth from the Bible that you preached and brought it right to my heart this morning. Pray for me. God spoke to me very specifically. Would you put your hand in the air, please? Let me pray for you this morning. God spoke to you very specifically. You need to be reminded of that. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. Thank you. You don't have to raise your hand, but you lower it now. But maybe there's somebody here this morning. Your marriage has had a little time of difficulty, conflict. Run to the refuge. Run to the refuge. Financially, you don't have to take a gun and blow your brains out. You run to the refuge. Your home doesn't have to split up. You run to the refuge. You run to it. Find out that He can be your refuge. Pastor, I should have raised my hand just then. I need this. I need help. I need this. I need this refuge in my life. Pray for me. Anybody else get in on that prayer? Yes, yes. Somebody else? Yes. How many here this morning would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I've been to Jesus Christ for salvation. I know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm positive of it. I'm happy about it and thankful that I'm saved. If you can testify that way this morning, would you raise your hand just to show God that you're saved and you know it? Would you raise your hand just for a moment? God bless you. All right. Is there somebody here this morning who said, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand because I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. I don't know where I'd go right now if I died today. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. Pray for me. Anybody like that in the room this morning? Would you just put your hand up and right back down? I'll pray for you. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Side to side, front to back, in the balcony. Anybody like that? Not sure that I'm saved. Anybody? All right. There's somebody here today. I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I've trusted Christ, but I've not been obedient to Him in baptism. God bless you. Somebody else? If you came this morning prepared to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now's the time to be obedient to Him. Step out and do that. Why don't you come right now while we wait? We'll get the folks ready to help you this morning. If you came to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now's the time to come. Maybe you know that you've been visiting this church and you know you're saved and baptized. You've talked to us about membership. Now's a good time to come and join the church this morning and unite with us. Maybe you need to talk to us about it. We'd love to sit down with you and visit, make a time. Maybe you've already talked to us about it. You know this is God's will. You do that. Just a minute, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to bless every hand that was lifted. If you raise your hand saying, God spoke to my heart about Him being my refuge, and you use the altar this morning, just say, God, help me to run to You. If you need to be baptized, you come as soon as the music begins. If you need to be saved or join the church, whatever the need is, you come when the music begins. Father in heaven, thank You for being our refuge. It takes trouble for us to learn that. It takes difficulty. But God, if we turn that difficulty into time spent with the refuge, at the refuge, what good it will do us. So I pray for every hand that was lifted this morning. Oh God, I pray that You'll please help them, bless them in a special way. Bless the ones that need to be baptized. If there's anybody here who needs to be saved, convict, draw to Christ, or any who need to join. Bless these decisions. I pray in Jesus' name.